You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
It's always good to come home. Amen. To be in the house of the Lord with other believers. You know, I believe God's working through the local church. I had a lady tell me the other day that she was doing, that God was doing something new in her. So she was just staying at home, and God was ministering through her. She's seen so many disappointments in church, and never heard anybody say quite the... I've heard people talk about people like this, but I met somebody that said that they got their eyes upon somebody that failed them in church. And so I think it was timing. God, it was a divine appointment. God put us together. Being a pastor, that's right up my alley. So I got to just minister into her heart and share some word with her. But God is moving through the local church. You know, I always tell people, don't get your eyes upon me. Don't get your eyes upon a man. Always keep your eyes upon God. You know, follow us as we are following the Lord. Amen. If you'll keep your focus right, if you'll keep your attention right, listen, as Pastor Mike always says, when the mountain looms on your horizon, turn and start facing Jesus. Amen. If you'll start walking toward Jesus, the mountain or whatever the problem is that you had your focus on will start diminishing in size. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And God will get bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually He will overtake you in your life. Well, this morning's service, this message I'm going to bring to you is something I was going to share this morning, and my wife is now sharing in our church in Wills Point, in Greenville. She's sharing it at the Fog over in Greenville, and I'm going to share this with you today. I have been teaching a series on faith. Last week we actually went to Kenneth Hagin's verse, Mark 11:24. It just in verse 23 says, or verse 22 says, "Have faith in God." And we began to jump off of that and talk about the essence of faith and what it means to have faith. Now, I want to talk to you this morning. I'm going to go beyond just having faith, because I believe I'm talking to believers this morning, people that activate their faith on a regular basis. People, we believe God. We're trusting in God. We put our faith out there on a regular basis. And because we do that, because of who we are as believers, there is some rewards of faith. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about the rewards of an on-fire relationship with God. How many can say on-fire relationship?
On-fire.
Look at your neighbor and say on-fire relationship.
On-fire.
All right, now there's some rewards of having an on-fire relationship, and I want to talk about this morning. Many times when you start talking about being on fire and you want to be on fire, and it sounds like a zeal or a zealous point to bring up, you always have someone say, "Amen, are you on fire for God?" And you'll hear someone say, "Amen, I'm on fire for God." And there's nothing wrong with saying that, but what does it really mean to be on fire for God? You know, people will say that somebody that's really on fire is fanatical. How many fanatics we have in this room this morning? You're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You don't mind people knowing that you're a fan of Christ. Amen. You want to act like Him. You want to talk like Him. You want to be like Him. You want to emulate Christ. Amen. The hope of glory. You want God on the inside to come on the outside. Really, we want to encapsulate our flesh. We don't want people to see, as we were talking about, or our brother was talking about this morning in Sunday school class, we want the love of God to emulate out of us. We want the glory of God. See, we want people to see God. And the people in the world are going to see God in us. They're watching you, lest you think they're not. Mess up. They're watching you. Amen. They're watching everything that you do, everything that you say. Whenever you start preaching the Bible, it's not the scriptures that you're reading to them. It's your very life that they're reading. Amen. And that, so we're talking about being on fire for God. I think believers, it's not something to be in, it's crazy talk. We're talking about a relationship with Christ. It's walking with Christ. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. I'm always honored to come here and preach, standing up in this pulpit that I've stood for many, many years, and on this stage, though the stage looks different. that everything in the church looks different. But the people are still the same. There's lots of love in this place. So I always feel the love of from all of you guys. I just love coming over here. Luke chapter 24. I want us to begin reading just a couple of verses here and look at verse 30. Give you just a moment to find it. Luke chapter 24, verse 30. Amen. It says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Now this is Jesus after he had risen from the dead. He met two men on the road to Emmaus. He began to talk with them along the way. And it says in verse 32, and they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" Did not our heart burn within us? That burning that sensation that they were feeling was the fire of God. For John said that there'd be one that comes after you, that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There is something to be said about the fire of God. Whenever you begin to open up the Scriptures, you begin to share the Bible with someone, listen, there is fire in the Word of God. It will burn away the wood, hay, and the stubble and leave that is pure and righteous before God. Amen? Listen, God wants us to speak the Word of God so that the fire of God, the embers of God's Word, can be laid upon other souls, so that lives can be changed. Many times you think, well, there's nothing I can do, there's nothing I can say, I can't penetrate. I have talked to people that seemed like they were hardened of heart. They didn't want to hear anything about God. But you know, as you begin to share the love of God with them, share the Scriptures and plant the seed of God's Word, it will begin to burn away the wood, the chaff. It will begin to melt their heart. Amen. And you will have that opportunity to penetrate that soul with the message of the gospel. How do you do it? You let the fire of God do it, and the fire rises up from within you. Amen? It's something that's real. There are three things that make up an on-fire relationship with God. I'm going to share some things this morning that you might want to take out your notepads and your pens. You might want to jot these things down because you always seem to remember in a greater magnitude the things that you write down. Now, if you say, well, I didn't bring a notepad, I didn't bring a pen with me, then I'm going to encourage you to take some mental notes this morning. There is a test after this. There is a test. I'm not going to be giving it to you, but when you walk out, there is a test. Amen? The tempter, the tester, he's going to come. As we learned this morning, he's going to immediately come to steal the Word. I want the Word of God to be alive on the inside of you. There's three things that make up an on-fire relationship with God. The first thing is prayer. Prayer. It's so important to have a prayer life. Don't diminish people that pray. Listen, church, we've got to tone up on our prayer life. So, well, I'm given to an hour a day. It's not given to an hour a day, as Paul says, I'm praying without ceasing. We look at public ministry, and it's more than public ministry. It's more than pulpit ministry. We're talking about a prayer ministry. If you want to have an on-fire relationship with God, you want the fires, because some of us might say, you know, I want to feel that fire that I once felt. I want to experience that love and that passion that I had years ago that I experienced. When we all look back in times past and we think about those services where everybody's down at the front and just crying out and the supernatural. But listen, God wants you to experience that on a daily basis. And that comes about through a prayer life. Amen? Intensified prayer. The number two is meditation. Meditation on the Word of God. Can you say meditate? Meditate? Meditate, that simply means to mutter or say over the Word of God. He said, I'm going to meditate on His Word day and night. I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to meditate on the Word of God. Why am I going to meditate? Because I want an on-fire relationship with God. I want the fire that's on the inside to begin to blaze and to begin to burn. You know, if you take an ember and you pull it away from the fire, what happens to that ember? It'll go out. It'll start diminishing in its impact. But you take that and you push it back up next to the fire. You push it up next to the flame, all of a sudden that ember will begin to burst in flames again. Listen, if you'll take your life and push it right back up to the source, God's Word, amen, and begin to read on God's Word, begin to meditate on God's Word. Who am I in Christ? You know, that's so important for us to talk about. Who we are in Christ. The greatest thing you can ever get from the local church, the greatest thing you can get from when you come in here, is to find out who you really are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So that when you go out and the devil starts saying that you're something other than what God says, you can stop him in his tracks. Well, I don't receive that a bit. I found out that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new in my life. I'm a living testimony of who God is in my life. Amen? So I'm going to meditate on God's Word. Meditation on God's Word will make you happy. I know we talk a lot about joy, because joy of the Lord is your strength. And we kind of sometimes in the church will minimize happiness because we want to emphasize joy, because joy wells up on the inside. It's something so much deeper. But you know what? God's people should be the happiest people in the world. Amen? We should walk around with a smile on our face. Can you smile at me this morning? I mean, we should have a happy face, you know, about us. Why? Because we are not taking on the cares of the world. We're casting our care upon Him, for He careth for us. We're rolling those things over on Jesus. Amen. So we should be happy. If you're not seeking after being happy, I think there's something wrong. I think that if you're saddened all the time, then the fire of the on-fire relationship and the rewards of the on-fire relationship is hampered in your life. As a matter of fact, if you want to be a living example of who Christ is, then the people that are watching you are going to look back and observe, is there anything to Christianity? If you're going to your job, and I know no one here is, I'm preaching to the choir, I'm sure I'm talking to someone on the tape, but if you're going and you're showing up on Monday morning and you say the same thing that everybody else says, well, it's Blue Monday, you know. I tell you, it's been a rough weekend for me. I tell you, it's been tough. It's been hard. I don't know about this economy that we're going in. And we start dictating the lifestyle of this world and forget who we are in Christ. No, you came out of church on Sunday. On Monday, you should be walking in with the fires of revival. I mean, people should already know, oh, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so is going to be showing up. They're going to be clocking in a minute. I know they're going to be telling us everything that happened at church yesterday. Oh, they're going to be talking about what happened last Wednesday. They're going to be talking about what they did throughout the week, all the people that they've been visiting with. That's just who they are. They just seem to be supernaturally happy. How many like hanging around happy people? Is there anybody here like to hang around sad people? Now, there's sadness in this world. I don't deny that. There is sadness. There is grief and there is sorrow. In this world, there's going to be some sorrow. In this world, there's going to be some sad times. But in the midst of all the grief in this world, God's people have hope. Amen? Because we've got the fire of God on the inside of us. And one of the rewards of the fire is that it brings the joy and it also brings happiness. Amen? Number three, praise. First of all, prayer. Second of all, meditation. And third, praise. We're going to look at these things in the Scriptures in just a moment. I just want to lay these out for you. The third thing is praise. Praise is the language of faith. You say you're a believer, are you praising God? Is your life living up to giving praise to God? Everything you say, everything you do, is an example of your praise to God. I think about Jonah. When Jonah was, God told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to those people. Jonah, a prophet of God, recognized how God would respond to the Ninevites. They were a wicked people. They deserved hellfire in Jonah's mind. He did not want to go and preach the gospel because sure enough, God would forgive them. They would get saved, and that's not what he wanted. I know you as a believer would never want something like that on someone else. You don't have any mind or any person in mind or anybody in mind that you would want negative things or bad things to happen. Matter of fact, we teach this all the time. We want it to be a win-win situation. We don't want some to win and some to lose. people that you're struggling with, the people that are coming out against you the most, listen, God's not wanting to bring hellfire and brimstone down on them. He's not wanting to strike them dead. No, no, He wants them to win. Ephesians tells us that our battle is against Satan. It's against wickedness in high places. So our battle is not against flesh and blood. I don't care what people say and what people do, God cares about them. Even Jesus hanging on the cross, He looked down at the same men, the same people that were persecuting Him, that were doing some terrible things to Him. He looked down at them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, that's the love of Christ, and that's the same love that should emanate out of each and every one of us. If the result of having a fire in our inside of us and a reward of that fire comes through praise. We lift up praise to God. Amen. We lift up praise to God. Jonah, thought I forgot about it. Jonah was running from God. He gets on a boat. He goes, starts going the other direction away from Nineveh. A storm breaks out. Everybody in the boat says, I don't know what's going on. Why there's a, it seems like we're under a curse. And Jonah stands up and says, well, it's my problem. It's my fault. I'm running from God. I'm the problem. You know what those guys did? They got around a circle. They put their arm around them. They said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You know, hey, we're here for you. We're your buds. We're best friends. You know, we're going to be there for you. We're going to get through this. We're going to weather the storm together. That's not what they did. They took Jonah and they threw him off the boat. God had prepared a great fish and swallowed Jonah up. Jonah, now listen, if you'd have got swallowed up by a great fish, if in the midst of flying off the boat, long before I ever hit the water, I'd be calling out for God. I'd be saying, God, forgive me for anything I've done wrong. Straighten me out. Jonah stayed dormant in the belly of a fish for 3 days. 3 days! But I like the end of the story with Jonah. Jonah, sitting there on the third day, he began to remind himself that he was a covenant man. He had covenant with God, and he began to offer the only thing that he could offer. That was what? Praise. He began to lift up a thanksgiving to the Lord. As he began to lift up a thanksgiving to the Lord, God honored the sacrifice that was made to him. And listen, that was the language of faith. Through praise, fish turned and spit him out on dry ground right there in the place where God told him to go in the first place. A great victory was wrought that day. There was a great forgiveness of sins. All the Ninevites got saved, and God did forgive them, and exactly what He thought would happen. But Jonah had to get himself right. When you find, we think, well, I tell you what, there's the fire is not there in my life. Well, I'm going to ask these, are you praying? Are you praying? How's your prayer life? My dad used to always say that greater than just theology is neology. You know, are you spending some time on your knees? Are you spending time with God? See, the greatest thing you have is a relationship with God. How many husbands do we have in here? Do we have any husbands? All right, we got some husbands in here. If you're a husband, does your wife ever say that she wants you to talk to her? Or are you listening to me? See, here's what she's saying. She's saying, I want a relationship. I want you to talk to me. I don't really need to talk to her, you know. I'm committed to her. I'm going to my job. No. You're going to have some problems in your marriage if you don't develop that relationship, if you don't talk to one another. In your dating life, you're talking all the time. Guys, I know you don't like to talk on the phone. I'm just assuming you don't because I don't like to. But yet when I was dating my wife, I was on the phone for hours. We were just spending time with one another. Whether if I couldn't be with her in person, I was spending time with her on the phone. She was doing all the talking, but I was intently listening. I was hanging on every word. Why? Because I was developing a relationship. See, we want to develop a relationship with God. We got to intently listen, and we got to spend some time with God. It takes time to develop relationship. I want the fire to burn in my life. Well, I'm going to ask, are you praying? Are you spending time with God? Have you come back to what you know? Listen, most of us don't have to be taught these things. We just need to be reminded of these things. Most of the time when you're talking to people about their situation, they already know the answer. They already know what would solve their problem. I talk to marriage couple. They come into my office and we begin to talk. They already know where the problem lies. The question is, are you willing to implement the answers to where the problem lies? Are you willing to make changes in those areas. If you don't have that fire burning in, you don't see the rewards of an on-fire relationship, then first of all, ask yourself, are you praying to God? Second of all, are you meditating? Are you putting the Word of God on the inside? For that seed sown upon good ground, what you put in is going to come out of you. Listen, if you'll take the fire of God and put it on the inside of you, it'll burn brighter and brighter. And third, are you praising God? Praise always is the outcome of a thankful heart, knowing that the answer has arrived. I think it's Pastor Mike that was preaching, and he was sharing the illustration. If I said I'm going to come and mow your grass next week, the correct response would be thank you, right? If your employer walked up and says I'm giving you a raise, you're going to see an increase on your paycheck next week. The response would be now the incorrect response would be, well, I'll believe that when I see it. Yeah, right. No. That would be offensive. God Almighty has said, I want to bring some blessings in your life. It's okay to be blessed. Do you realize it's okay to be blessed by God? For the intent of being blessed is so that you can be a blessing. God wants to use you as a funnel. God's looking to bring blessings in your life. There is some outcome, or there is some rewards of being on fire for God. Unless you not understand what I'm talking about, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just look at one verse right here. Hallelujah. Look down at verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now we're already making the assumption you have faith. I'm talking to believers this morning. So believers have faith. Believing's what you do because that's who you are. That's just what you do. So as a believer and you have faith, look at this. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a, what's the next word? Does it say that in your Bible too? All right. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, so God, you've got to believe that He is, and not only that He is, but that He is also a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So God desires to bring some rewards in your life. Amen? Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to look at Jehoshaphat here. Jehoshaphat was faced with insurmountable odds that were coming up against him. The Amorites, the Moabites, the Edomites were all coming together to attack Judah and attack Jehoshaphat and his kingdom. And so there's some steps and things that we're going to see in these three things, prayer, meditation, and praise. We're going to see these things surmised or summed up in this one passage of Scripture. Look over in verse 22. Verse 22, chapter 20, verse 22. It says, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. When they had made the end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them. They found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off from themselves more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoils. It was so much. All right, let's just stop there, and we're going to talk about this morning. Jehoshaphat did three things. I want you to notice three things to bring the rewards of this on-fire relationship that he had with God. How many are interested in the rewards? Anybody interested in the rewards? All right. If you're not, interested, because I know you're going to always talk to people that say, you know, I'm not doing it for the rewards. Well, that's all right. Can I have your rewards? Amen. I'll take them. If you don't want them, I'll take them. Jehoshaphat did three things. First thing he did, we're going to have to back up. We see that he had some spoils here, but we're going to back up into the first part in verse 3. It says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. First thing that he did was he set himself to prayer. Jehoshaphat began to pray. Church, when the devil comes against you, and he will, the Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. He says, but I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. When the thief comes against you, set yourself up to pray. Maybe you're looking at the odds and you think, well, there's too many out there. Need I remind you that there are more for you than there are against you? Amen. You've got the greater one living on the inside of you. Even though that Satan may come at you, in numbers wise, there are 2/3 of the angels still with God, provided he didn't make any more, create any more. Listen, 1/3 of the angels fail. If every angel stood up against you and Satan himself, and you had God on your side, you are in the majority. Amen? You've got God on the inside of you. So first thing he did is he began to pray. He set himself to prayer. Anybody ever had a trial in your life? You ever faced a trial? I mean, I know that we've all faced trials in our life where you feel like there's no way but God. Many times it's in those times that we recognize, hey, the benefit or the rewards of an on-fire relationship. All of a sudden, when the policy kicks in, all of a sudden when the God's flow supernaturally comes in your life, you go, wow, it's been there all along. I didn't even realize it. Well, it's during the trials, the trying of your faith, it's during the struggles in this life that many times we see that God is still on the throne. I'm thinking about Peter, when Peter began to step out of the boat, he saw Jesus walking on the water. Lord, if that's you, bid me come. The word came back, come. So Peter began to step out of the boat and he began to walk on water. You know, people say, whenever he looked around, he saw the water troubled and he began to sink. Church, you can't walk on water when it's smooth. In the good times of your life, you need to remember that God is still the same. I mean, he's not just the God in the troubled times. He's the God in the good times. But it's many times just during the troubled times that we're calling on him. It's during the struggles in our life that we're calling on him. That's why we need to recognize that God is the same always. He's there to bring blessings in our life. Verse 7 says this, and art thou not God, our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? What was he doing? Now he's doing number 2. He's beginning to meditate. He's beginning to remind himself. See, we got to remind ourselves who God is in our life. Remind ourselves that he's the same God. Meditate on the law of God. That's an incubation. Let it incubate inside of us. What did he tell Joshua? He says, meditate on my word in chapter 1. Meditate on my word day and night. When you begin to meditate, then he'll make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Why? Because we begin to meditate on our word. He reminds us. Here, they begin to remind God of past victories. Look over in verse 9. It says, when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is this house, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. See, what is he doing? He's reminding himself of who God is. He's beginning to meditate on who God is in our life. Then verse 15, it says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah. Here we find that the word of the Lord came unto him. Hearken ye all Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. We're talking about a rewards of an on-fire relationship. As they begin to meditate on God's word, all of a sudden God began to respond. God will show up on your scene every time. You say, well, I need to feel God. I need to sense God. I need to know God's presence. Church, let me assure you that God is present. Let me assure you that God recognizes your need. Let me assure you that as you call upon Him, He will show up every time. And He's going to show you great and mighty things which you know not. Here's what they said. Number three, is they begin to praise God. The Scripture tells us that they fought the good fight of faith. How many knows what a good fight is? A good fight is a fight you win. Amen? A good fight really is a fight where you don't have to receive any blows. Church, I'm going to tell you right up front, I don't like to fight. I mean, physically in the natural, I don't like to fight. I'm not a fighter. I do not like it. You know, I don't want to stand there and let anybody hit my face. I can't even imagine it. So I'm gonna be doing some talking. If somebody wants to fight me, I'm going to be doing some talking. Hey, let's don't go there. Let's don't do that. You know, you say, well, it's because you're old. Well, I may be old, but I remember it when I was young. I didn't like to fight. Maybe you liked it. I didn't. You know, I wasn't interested in that. And so when I read in the Bible that God's is going to fight my battles for me, oh, I'm telling you, I'm latching hold of that. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want to latch hold of that promise. I want to latch hold of that reward. Oh, that's the benefit package. Wait, somebody wants to start swinging. I go, oh, wait, just a second. The Bible says you're not supposed to be swinging at me. You got to take this up with the Lord. You got to take this up with God. All right? A result. I'm going to begin to stand and trust God. After prayer and meditation, his confession became his confession or his possession. His confession became his possession. The three results or the three rewards. You ever know anybody that like to tribulate? I mean, they're just bent on tribulation. They're you know, the Scripture says in the world there is tribulation. But the latter part of that says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. People are looking for the negative. They're looking for the hard road, and I'm always looking for the easy road. I want to look for the edge. I want to look for what's going to get me ahead in life. I want to know all the benefit package. I want to know that I can have peace. I want to know that I can have joy. I want to know that the devil can't defeat me. I want to know those things. So whenever the devil's knocking on my door and saying this and that, I want to know what the policy says. I want to know what the promises of God, because the Bible says the promises of God, they are yes and they are amen. The promises of God are true. So if they're written in the Word of God, if there's a reward to being on fire for God, there's a reward, I want to know what it is. I'm not ashamed to say so. I'm not ashamed to tell the devil that I don't have to be sick. Jesus already paid the price for sickness. I don't have to tell the devil that I have to be poor because he said, I want you poor no more. That I can live in prosperity. That I can live in the blessings of God. That I can have the peace of God. When depression starts to try to come into my life, I can stand against depression and say, wait a minute, that's not part of the benefit package. Not only do I don't have to live under the guilt and the weight of past failures and past mistakes. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. That's right. Forget not all of His benefits. We're talking about the benefit package. I'm going to remind myself of the benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Well, the older you get, you know, there's certain things that's just going to crop up. You know, arthritis will attack you. And wait, church, I don't receive that. I was having some aches on somewhere in my body. I don't remember now. It was in my knees or my wrist or something. And I went to the doctor, and I said, I think I cracked something. Any way you can do an X-ray and check that out? I'm confessing I cracked something. Lord, forgive me. So I'm saying, just check that out. They ran some X-rays. They came back and says, oh, no, that's just the starts of arthritis coming in your life. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. I don't receive that. Because I know what the benefit package says. I know what God says. So I'm going to start standing on the Word of God. So, well, you know, I'm experiencing that. I'm preaching to you today. If it's hitting home, then I want you just to apply the Word of God in your life. Let God's Word challenge you today. Understand there's some rewards of an on-fire relationship with God. The first reward that we're going to find is you win. How many like that? How many like being on the winning side? Amen. I like to be on the winning side. I don't mind being picked last. I've been picked last lots of times. I just want to make sure that whoever picks me last wins. Preferably, I'd like to be the person that gets that winning touchdown or whatever so that they'd go, I should have picked him first. No, that's all right, you know. But I like to win. Who doesn't like to win? Well, they say it's not a matter whether you win or lose as long as you play the game. Someone said it's not a matter whether you win or lose until you lose. Listen, I don't want to, if I'm going to lose, I don't want to lose to someone like the devil. I don't want him to win. I don't want him to win ever. Well, you know, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. You know, there's kind of ups and downs in life. Sometimes it's, you know, this way and sometimes it's that way. No, there's some consistency with God. God, it says Malachi 3, that God changes not. He's a God that doesn't change. So I'm on the winning side when I'm with God. I expect to win every time. I expect to win in life every time. I expect to defeat the devil every time. See, Jesus already defeated the devil. But the way he's defeated in my life is when I appropriate it by faith. When I stand up and realize that I'm on the winning side. See, the only tool the devil has is a tool of deception. If he can deceive you, if he can convince you that he's winning in your life. Church, you know how the devil will win in your life? Cut prayer out of your life. You know how you'll find the devil winning in your life? Cut meditating in God's Word out of your life. How the devil will overcome you in your life? Cut praise out of your life. Because slowly you'll take God out of the equation. You'll take God, and then it'll be just you standing against the devil. No, I want to stand with God. I want to stand with God. I want to see God work in my life. I want to win. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, run that you may obtain, or run that you may win. Say, I want to run this race. I want to be as Paul says, I'm reaching for the prize of the high calling. I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to press forward toward the mark, toward the high calling of God. Why? Because I realize that I'm going to cross the finish line. I'm going to win. I've got the benefit package. That's a reward of who I am. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors. Everybody say, more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Why? Because we're conquering in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, thanks be to God which causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So I triumph in Him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the evil one. I tell you what, there is some rewards of an on-fire relationship with God. Number two is you abound. You abound. You come away with the spoil. You abound in the things of God. Look back over in 2 Chronicles. If you haven't changed, you're there already. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 25, it says, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies. Boy, I want to get to riches. I want to find the riches amongst the dead bodies. I don't want to have to fight for the riches. I want to find it just laying there. It says, and precious jewels which they stripped off from themselves. Church, let me just interject this. When I talk about not wanting to fight, I recognize that there's a fight every day within myself of whether I'm going to trust God in my own mind. But the victory has already been wrought in Christ Jesus. He has already did the fighting. He has already won the victory. He has already laid up the spoils for you and I. Here's what He tells us to do. He says, I want you to send the praise and worship team out. We find that He sent the praise and worship team out before. In verse 21, He says He appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of His holiness. He sent the praise team out. And whenever they got to where they were going, sure enough, The rewards were that they did not have to fight the battle. Jesus had already come in. God had already come in, intervened. The Ammonites, the Moabites, all the otherites turned against themselves. They slew one another, and they had all these spoils laying on the ground. Now, when Jehoshaphat and all of his army got to the destination, what did they do? All they did was start collecting the spoil. Would it be nice to walk up on the scene and just collect the spoil? Amen. He says the wealth of the unjust is laid up for the just. Man, I tell you what, we just can't help but be blessed. I mean, we're blessed coming in and we're blessed going out. In Deuteronomy 28 chapter says, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, that the blessing of God would come upon you and they would overtake you. So that means you're walking in the midst of the blessing of God. Oh, man. He said this. They said they stripped off for themselves, verse 25, more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil that it was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. Can you say that? Berakah. That's a Hebrew term. Berakah. Which means, for they were blessed of the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the valley of Berakah unto this day. See, they were blessed. That was the rewards of the blessing. They abounded. Number two, they abounded. In every great battle comes a great spoil. What's the spoil that I'm talking about for you? What is the spoil that we're talking about today? It's freedom from bondage, freedom from sin, freedom from guilt. Jesus paid that price. We have a spoil today of being free from those things. Free that know that there's therefore now no condemnation to them. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are living a new day. We're living, receiving the spoils of the victory that Jesus has already fought for us. Number three, you establish a new dimension of life. You establish a new dimension of life. There's a different way to live, church. There's a different way to live. Instead of facing life with all the struggles that you see in front of you and think, it's a hard road, this is a hard task we're going, and you hook up with your wife or you hook up with your husband and say, I know that we can get there. I know that if we'll just put our teeth to the grind, we'll get there, we'll manage to get to the top. No, it's not a matter of those things. It's a matter of trusting in the Lord. It's a matter of having peace in God and trusting God and watching God do supernatural things in your life. God will supernaturally open doors that you couldn't open. God can do more in 5 minutes with the Spirit of God moving than you can do in a lifetime. If you'll trust the Lord, God will bring provision in your life. God will open supernatural doors. He'll give you jobs that you didn't have. He'll give you witty ideas that you didn't have. He'll give you discounts. He'll give you a favor and blessing upon people or upon employers or upon employees. He'll give you supernatural blessings. Those are the spoils that I'm talking about in this life. Learn to live in the place, as here they came to Berakah, learn to live in the place of blessing. There's a place of blessing for you and I.